Today on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, we are joined by actor, producer, director, author. What else can you do, Bryan Cranston?
I sweep floors.
You do?
And I load a dishwasher really, really well.
Do you unload it?
Not too many.
Okay. We could give you a job in our
house. The talent is loading it, not unloading.
No, the talent is buying the dishes that fit together and not the dishes that I buy that don't fit in the dishwasher.
Well, I could teach you how they can fit.
Okay, Bryan, thank you. That's Bryan Cranston on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to listen on Podcast One or through the Podcast One app and Apple Podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the Trust Me to Get On mandate. Get it on. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thank you. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Drewski over there. How you doing,
Drew? Happening, buddy. How you been?
Good. Jimmy O. Yang is here from Silicon Valley and many other endeavors. Lots of movies coming up. Lots of stuff. Lots of heat around Jimmy O.
But this is the most important thing in my life to me. You got to understand.
He's rejoining my two dads.
I'm serious, man. I know it seems like I'm like, you know, really kissing ass when I'm up here, but I'm not.
You are, but it's okay.
I literally wrote down, I look back, like I have a sheet of like goals that I write like every year, and maybe 5 years ago, you know, one of my goals was like get on a TV show, do some movies, and then also get on the Adam and Drew Show. I'm not kidding. Or, you know, the Adam Carolla family.
I'm so flattered. I'm tickled pink that you that you said that. And I like this idea of sitting down and writing goals down. I have this kind of rich man, poor man kind of thing that I like to do, and Drew knows some of it, and you know, like rich man, poor man, there's a million of them, but like there's some good ones, like owns a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's a poor dude fighting off the cops in his underpants, like on bath salts. And then that's the rich guy over the fireplace, you know, the family crest and all that. Like that middle of the road, you know, we're a couple of school teachers and we drive four Taurus. They don't own swords.
No,
you know,
right,
that's the top and the bottom.
To be fair, the rich guy's sword is actually forged steel by a samurai. The poor guy's sword is a broom handle that he thinks is a sword.
It's something he bought from the army surplus store to protect himself on the street, you know, because he spent a lot of time on the street, you know. But I started this sort of rich man, poor man thing, and people would tweet me their rich man, poor man stuff. And it was always like, started off with outdoor shower. Like, that's a rich dude move, the cabana by the pool and everything.
And it's also what Adam did outside his mom's garage.
With a hose.
A hose.
But as I think about lists are the domain of the winner and the loser. If you just think extremes. Because I know people who's like, I'm going to write down my goals for 1997, you know? And it's like, you know, half those people are losers. And it's like, why don't you just go out and quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Make more eye contact. You know, all that stuff. And then they're just right back to it the next day. Like, I feel like they can be New Year's resolution type things and just go the way the dodo. Yeah. But there are other people who write the goals down. And I go, that guy's on top of it. That guy's sharp. You know what I mean? It's a feast or famine with the writing down of the goals.
It makes me wonder whether the writing down makes any difference.
I think so.
Whether
I think
it's just sort of random.
No, it's in the eye of the beholder. There are people who write it down and go out and treat it as a punch list and go take care of it.
Right.
And then they're the ones that are just doing it so you can feel satiated.
Yeah. But I absolutely agree with and understand what you're saying, but it makes me wonder if the list itself really is what it has anything to do with it. What has something to do with it is just this guy says, I want to do a couple things, and he starts doing them.
What I'm saying is when Jimmy O. Yang makes a list, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
When my buddy Ray makes a list, it's a bad thing.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think the list makes you see the opportunities more clearly, right? Like let's just say for the Adam and Drew thing. Like, I want to be on this show. I want to hang out with you guys. So when I made that on the list, and then when I saw my friend Fred Stoller on the show, I was like, Fred, take me on the show. So now I have a clear goal, and when the opportunities came, I know to, you know, bug Fred about it.
Plug
it in. Yeah.
So it's go to show, bug Fred. Those are the things.
Yeah, yeah. You need Fred Stoller to make that list happen.
So this may be the factor that makes every list work. It's Fred Stoller.
I got to tell you, we spend so much time talking always about education and the have and the have-nots and the chasm. Forget about all that. Yeah. Just the showing up. Like, you know, I had... let's see. Oh, I had Charlemagne the God in here. And he's DJ, author, all-around interesting cat, you know. And I sort of thought he was going to come in and start up with my white privilege and how his black life mattered and stuff. And he wasn't that way at all. He was just like, I was, 18, 19. I was fucking up. I had no excuses. My parents were pretty good, educated, so on and so forth, that I was a fuck up. I was dealing drugs. I was kind of a mess. And I wanted to get my shit together. And I thought about doing radio, so I showed up at the radio station, and they sort of said, we don't need anything. And he was kind of like, for free? You don't need anything for free? And then he sort of went to like, they sort of shooed him away. You know, every business has that person at by the front door that's there just to shoo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like when you go into the Costco and the door's open, you get that big whoosh of air so no gnats fly in. There's businesses. It's just radio stations have a woman who sits there that shoos. Like, hey, get out of here. Go on, get. You know, and you just go, hey, do you guys need... Go, get out of here. Go on, get out of here.
Scram.
And he just sort of went, like, to the... sales department. He said, I bet you guys wouldn't mind someone who would work for free. And they're like, oh, you want to work for free? Yeah. And the next thing you know, he's on air. And the next thing you know, he's going over to Power or whatever. And the next thing you know, he's Wendy Williams brings him over to New York or whatever it is. But just that. You know what I mean? Like that, show up, make a list, go get it. Like,
yeah.
Never,
that's what you did too, right?
It's what I did. Every successful person I know did a version of that. Mm-hmm. But it's never discussed, is it, Drew?
We have brought it up a number of times, but not nowhere else do I hear anything.
Not any political forums or anything.
No,
it's just
that
there's this thing where they go, look, there's the haves, and then there's the have-nots. But then we never go, well, what? Yeah. So plenty of people have a lot of stuff, so we just got to kick something down to the have-nots. And it's like, that's not really, it's like saying there's a lot of A students, a lot of F students. So what are you doing with all those A's there, Jimmy and Drew? And how about me? I'm D minus F. You get straight A's? I get a bunch of D's? What do you need all those A's? You could give me some of your A's. Come on, give me some A's. You give me two A's. You give me two A's. Now what do you got? Well, you got four A's, and I'll have four A's, too, because I got two from you and two for you.
Clearly, Ouyang's A's are because of Asian privilege. I mean,
yeah, obviously.
You can't spell Asian.
But it does bring up an interesting point. Why don't we let the guys have the A's, and then why don't we bring up the deep minuses? Why don't we bring them up?
But why should
without
you have
bringing
all
the other guys down?
Whoa! Yeah. But Drew, when I'm elected, I'll tell you why. You want to know why?
Why?
Because these people who are getting the D's, they come from families that don't get A's historically. So we can't expect them.
Oh, I see.
Poor.
I see.
And a lot of them look different than we do. And not only that, you know how you got your A's? Making sure they got D's.
Oh, I see.
That's how you got. You guys know. Did you not know how you got those A's?
I put my heel in the throat of the D's.
Yeah.
Lifted yourself up to get the top of the chalkboard
right.
With the rarefied air.
On their necks.
Yeah. Well, how else? Well, look, if you didn't do it, ancestors, grandparents, what I'm saying? All right, so now that we've established...
Oh, yeah, too, his ancestors?
Absolutely. Well, hold on.
Well, we did an old country, and we brought into this country.
Not interested in your country of origins or the color of your skin. Do you have A's?
Yeah, I guess
well,
so
then you stepped on somebody.
Exactly.
Okay, so now, you guys who stepped on people to get your A's, right?
Yeah.
Or, I don't even know if those are your A's. Your dad could have given you those A's.
I'm
so it could have been daddy's
already.
A's.
Mm-hmm. Just what you said so far, I'm guilty.
So you had this ill-fated plan for us to lift these people up?
Mm-hmm.
How can we when you're stepping on their neck?
You're right.
Okay. No. So why don't you take a couple of those A's? By the way, Drew, do you need six A's? Don't you think you could get by with four?
Jimmy, what do you think? Four A's?
No. You need all six, Drew, right?
But how you're not paying your fair share of A's. Kick some of those A's down to the
course.
D student. And by the way, you think that's how D students get smarter? You drizzle some A's on them while they're on the ground? Does that help them?
They're hey, taxing your A's, man.
Did you see there's a new bill coming through California which is going to stratify moving violations? Parking, car violations.
Oh, I do know what you mean, but yeah. I wouldn't know what stratify meant, but I know what it means to commensurate with
your income.
Your income.
Hmm.
And I thought, and I defended it a little bit based on your experience, because you talked about how that was really could screw you up, because then you get a warrant, and then you'd get.
Well, that is what's screwing up, and yeah. I would definitely be fine with the. Well, there's two things. Uh oh, now I'm getting angry.
Uh oh, Jimmy, watch out! He's angry.
I would be fine with the, here's what you do if you pay this much. Here's what you have to do. But also, and they're going to have, they got to have categories. You know, they got to make 100 grand a year plus, 500 grand a year plus, a million and then above or something like that. They got to break it down. They'll break it down a few ways. That's fine. I'll be in the top group. I get to go 5 miles an hour faster for every group I'm above.
Okay.
So I get to go like 95 miles an hour.
So you get some benefit to being in that group as well as a higher liability.
Well, okay. it's the way.
Call your congressman.
Like I say all the time, it's the way every single facet of life works.
Should work.
No, works.
Huh?
Not should work, but the government.
But the government, all right.
I'm going to Vegas this weekend. Vegas is a little snow globe of how everything works, which is you can come into their facility and play nickel slots if you would like, but you don't get comped a room and you don't get comped a show, and those well drinks dry up pretty quick because you're just there. If you'd like to be a whale and come in and sit at the high rollers table and push a lot of chips out in front of you, you will get a room and you will get to see Celine Dion because that's how their business works. They know exactly what they're doing. The day somebody tells them, hey, you got to give comps, you got to comp a suite to the nickel slot players too, that's the day they go out of business. They can't work that way. And then it's also not fair to go, look, the nickel slotter's not getting the room, so you big whales who sit at the big time table, you don't get one either because they don't.
Here's how business should work.
Yeah.
It's called TrueCar.
That's right.
That's right. It can help you buy new or used cars from the over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from the over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you get that upfront pricing information. That is, you see what other people paid for the car you want. You learn about that car. You get a fair price. You find out what that is by looking at that scattergram of those prices in your area. Then you connect to a local certified dealer, and you know what you've locked in as a price for actual inventory on that local certified dealer's lot. You'll enjoy a quick, easy experience and discounts off the list price you can't get anywhere else, and overall a better buying experience. That's right. Look at what others paid. Lock in the price. You've locked in a price for actual inventory. So when you enter that certified dealer's lot, you know it's for a particular vehicle that's there on the lot. And when you're ready to buy new or used, just visit TrueCar. Some features not available in all states.
All right. Let's see.
Should we take a call?
Can we gamble?
Well, on the callers. You have to gamble
on the
callers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right. You got a call up there that you like?
I'm thinking three.
Line three. I'm trying to think what three is, too. Three?
Line three.
Oh, that. No, I was trying to figure out what four was. Right. Yeah. Three, go ahead. Line three, Zach, 26, Wisconsin.
Hey, it's man Drew, get it on.
What's going on, man?
Adam, I realize you're on Spike TV, so I'm sure it's a different atmosphere, but do you worry about getting the Tim Allen treatment at all?
Yeah, what he's referring to is Last Man Standing, who my partner, Kevin Hench, who I wrote The Hammer with, and I've written a few movies and projects with my now writing partner, created and ran that show. And they were getting very high ratings. As a matter of fact, I was just out to dinner with Tim and Kevin about 3 weeks ago, and spirits were very high because they were winning their time slot. They were, I think, beating shows that that weren't in their time slot in terms of ratings. I think maybe Big Bang Theory or something was the only show that was beating it, as I recall. And they were devastated. I got to say, you know, when you're going from season six to season seven and the ratings are strong, you're feeling pretty comfortable. And Tim Allen and Kevin were both pretty shaken up because as Kevin said to me, I went from making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to zero in one phone call. Like, it's not one of those things where it's like, hey, we're going to cut you back, your hours back, or anything like that. You go from making millions of bucks to $0 in a 30-second phone call. And
that's sort of his business, though, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, he gets it. And Tim was very upset about it, too.
Well, Tim was saying that he figured it was this show's about conservatism and conservative values, right?
I think it was, first off, you have to preface everything. It's like when people tell me, hey, Bill Maher stole your joke. I'll go, I don't know if he stole my joke. Yeah. Maybe he stole my joke, but I can't say. Nobody can say with certainty that this happened or that happened. Yeah. And I don't like it when people do that.
Yeah.
I go, there's a likelihood he could have heard it and used it, but there's a likelihood one of his writers or somebody else, or it's just coincidence.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
Yeah.
But Tim Allen, his character is this, you know, it's not voting for Hillary Clinton and whatever. We used to have room for that. It was a guy named Archie Bunker, and that was a good. I try to explain to people all the time, there's nobody more progressive or liberal than my mother and my grandmother and my family, but especially my mother and my grandmother, like literally communist. Communist.
Literally.
Literally. And their favorite show was All in the Family.
Yeah.
And they loved All in the Family. And the reason they loved All in the Family is because they could all get together and make fun of Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
He was a buffoon who they got to make fun of. And when Meathead got to speak, that was them speaking to Archie.
Yeah.
Michael Stivic, I think, was his character's name.
Rob.
So we understood.
Rob Reiner.
We understood clearly what was going on. My super liberal mom would sit and laugh her ass off
at
that show.
Did you ask Norman Lear when he was in here about this phenomenon, or was it not had fully taken off yet by the time you interviewed him?
It was. We spent so much time discussing how his mom would never give it up for him, never be proud of him. When he was running Hollywood and had 8 successful shows on TV, she'd go like, it's okay.
it's your kind of thing. It's your sort of humor.
So weird when a 92-year-old guy is like, my mom would just never, ever give it up. It's like, it was crazy. But anyway, I will get into it. Now, so Tim Allen's character is that, but maybe a bigger problem is Tim is that way, too.
Mm.
And
that's what he's implying. I mean, he implied that. But he may be right. That's possible, right? It's not impossible. It's possible. But think about the way television's done. A couple new executives come in. They want to rub their stink on it. Maybe they have some issues with price of the show versus what they're getting from the rating.
Yeah, season 6 to 7 is where you get a big pay bump for everybody.
Right. There's a lot more expense.
There's that. It's ABC's second most watched show.
But it's going to cost them a lot.
Drew, please let me finish.
Sorry.
After Modern Family.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to cost them. Look, here's the thing. People don't normally get rid of top 2 TV shows on their network.
But these days, I mean, who the hell knows what their
actual
revenues are?
But nobody knows.
And they
Drew.
Also want to change their brand. And
nobody knows.
All this stuff,
I appreciate what you're doing, Drew, but no.
I'm making a case. I'm not saying it's so. I'm just making a case.
Understood, but it's hard to make a case when you're on the podium and you have 70 shows on your network and you're top 5.
Right.
It's hard to make a case. Now, the other thing it's hard to make a case for is like, what are the chances the show that replaces it? I have this conversation all the time with people, which is, I had, God, I can't remember his director
name. They have the expense of American Idol coming in and all the time they need to fill for that. It's every day, right?
No, they're going
to
replace the show with another show.
American Idol.
No.
American Idol's coming to ABC.
I know, but they're replacing this show with American Idol?
I'm saying they're going to need every night.
All right, Drew, go in the closet and burn thousands of calories shitting on everyone's point, would you please? Jesus Christ, yes, they have American Idol, but they also... Okay, what about the 61 shows that aren't doing as well as this?
Well,
how about getting
point.
Rid of some of them?
We'll see if that happens. Let's see if they start getting rid of stuff and changing what they look
they're
and
feel
not. Like and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
That's all I'm saying.
You've said a lot.
All right.
Constantly.
I shall say no more.
This is like
Please.
Watching my parents fight when I was little.
I just appreciate you working
so
hard.
Because I'm used to it.
Like it. Okay.
Now, I'm used to this chaos.
I thought I was clear at the top when I said we don't know anything, but I'm glad that you had to keep going. Now, it's a world where if you are on, everyone is, you know, look, everyone's a little bit on the bubble in TV. And now it comes down to What do they think of you? Do they know you? Do they want to work with you? Do they like you on their network? And so on, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And since everything kind of comes down to that, them not agreeing with you politically, especially after the last election we had, that is not going to help. I'll put it to you that way. And also, when you fire somebody or divorce somebody or cancel a show, it's an amalgamation of things. I don't think it's way one thing. Because if it's one thing, it's like, well, the show gets good ratings. Good, it stays. But it's not. It's a combination of payroll and contracts. And also, bleeding in is probably politics.
Yeah.
And I would assume that... So I will say with certainty, this didn't help. Yeah. I won't say it was the cause.
Okay.
Certainly didn't help.
I've talked to like the executive casting in one of the studios, and she straight up told me, like, I'm like, oh, does it really matter how many Instagram followers somebody has? And then she was like, I do check the Instagrams to see if there's anything weird, if they get drunk every day or if they're Trump supported, and I don't know. I will have a hard time. I'm like, that's messed up, though.
She said,
know?
Or Trump supporter?
Or like, if she like, you know, really supporting Trump. I'm like, but aren't you being a bigot? In a way of your own, like if anybody...
Not in a way.
Yeah.
That's completely overt.
It's very hypocritical to some degree. And I don't know about...
Is that something we're going to do these days? Hypocrisy? I mean, remember what that means?
The hypocrisy thing is insane to me because I think we all... The first adult thought you're supposed to have is... If I'm smoking and eating a donut and I'm telling everyone they're lazy and out of shape and fat, I'm going to feel like an idiot because I got a donut in one hand and a cigarette in the other. Right. So there's this thing of like, not only should I put out the cigarette and put down the donut before I start this speech, but I should probably lose 30 pounds or lose 30 pounds, put out the cigarette and put down the donut and not do the speech at all. We are now living in a world where this crazy hypocrisy is coming at us 24/7 and no one even blinks anymore. That's the insane part. I mean, what's going on campuses is insane hypocrisy. I heard a guy interviewed from some, you know, campus, whatever, who's basically saying, whoever's coming on these campuses to speak needs to be vetted by us. And if then they're okay, then they should give a speech. We should not have, we don't have irresponsible people getting up here. And the guy who's interviewing him said, well, who gets to decide that? And he said, well, we'll decide that. He said, are you for free speech? Absolutely. I'm 100%.
That's right.
So you're 100% for free speech. Yes. You just get to decide who gets to speak.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you don't. There's no part, when you guys get together and have meetings and discuss these ideas, you don't think at all aloud about this. And by the way, the people you're vetting are oftentimes doctors and professors and professionals. Like, we're not talking about homeless guys up there when they start talking about how the Jews brought down the Twin Towers. We're talking, oh, well, by the way, they would hear a homeless man's perspective before they let, you know, conservative Jew Dennis Prager take the stage. That's for goddamn sure, right?
Did I tell you my theory about, were we talking about this last time, the college administrators and how they all were reared in the 60s and 70s? And so they were, their whole spirit was, hey, man, we need to be free. Like Peter Fonda, we should be free. Right. Do what we want to do. We want to get high. You know? Right. And I remember that
that was a great love line
find that speech, Gary, if you can. It's Peter Fonda. Was it Easy Rider?
It was probably Easy Rider. And it's like, hey, man, we want to be free. We want to do what we want to do. But, we don't listen to pigs.
But,
we want to get high.
But that, that was awesome. But that speech was a rallying cry for this people who went to college in the 60s and 70s, right?
Right.
And it was all anti-authority. Don't trust anybody over the age of 30. Anybody in authority is an asshole. Now they're over 30 and they're in authority. They're over 30 and they're in authority and they don't know how to be adults and how to be in authority. So they're very uncomfortable with it.
It's a bizarre.
This is from Loaded.
Oh, from Loaded. Sorry.
Yeah, we don't want nobody telling us what to do. We don't want nobody pushing us around.
I apologize.
Great to see Baldwin's dad actually working in the business.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. And We want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man.
The phony man.
Want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, wait, baby, let's go.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a party.
Yeah! I bet you Fonda didn't even know they were filming this. Yeah. I mean, it's like, hey, Peter, just go ahead and say.
Yeah, say what you want.
There's nothing in the script. Yeah, it's just say what, just you, say what to, you want to do.
Whatever you want to say to Baldwin's dad.
We're
get
high.
So, but
we're loaded, man.
You understand, that's the college administrators today, right? That's
right.
Them.
Yeah, Peter Fonda is 67 years old and running things. I mean,
he's the president of some college somewhere.
Right. Uh-huh.
That guy is the president of some college somewhere. So they have run in now to a generation. Now, this, I talked to a college professor who sort of clarified this for me.
Gary, you got to cut that clip and give it to Brian one of these days.
You need to give it to the K-Rock Doc guys, too, because I just
think, used to play that on Bloodline. Yeah.
He said the current generation, while all the professors and the administrators were about freedom, these guys are about tolerance. Everything's
right.
tolerance. You got to tolerate everything and anything.
Right.
We want you to tolerate, man. Just tolerate. And as opposed to be free, which is runs into conflict with free, right?
Yeah.
You've got to tolerate somebody's discomfort with this. They're uncomfortable, so you've got to tolerate that.
They don't – wait. You're saying the young group wants to tolerate everything?
Tolerance is their primary organizing principle as opposed to in our age it was freedom.
Right. I get it. But they don't have tolerance for people they disagree with.
Because you need to tolerate that you upset somebody. You need to tolerate their upset. See, they don't like you. You have to tolerate that.
There's a weird thing, and here's my bigger problem. I feel like, you know, they talk about choice and how they study choice and how unhappy people become with too much choice.
We got some of that going on too. I think.
I'll tell you what. Do your thing, or I'll do my thing.
I'll do my thing. I'm going to talk about Lewis
and then I'll
Black.
Tell you about choice because I have some thoughts.
All right,
choice
Audible.
Thoughts, choice words.
Lewis Black, The Rant Is Due. It's a new original comedy series from Audible Channels. Audible Channels. You get to hear the latest episode free right now at audible.com/Lewis Black. Lewis is LEWIS Black. The show is written by the fans. Rant about everything, politics, relationships, anything that grinds your gears, makes you mad. You're submitting the rant to Lewis Black. That's what they're doing. And if you don't know Lewis, he's, of course, the regular on The Daily Show, the voice of anger and Inside Out, and a great comedian, over a million fans on social media. So it is the new original comedy series from Audible Channels, and you get it at audible.com/Lewis Black, and you can hear it right now, free. Right now, audible.com/Lewis Black. Listen to The Rant Is Due, free, audible.com/Lewis Black.
So, choices. Somebody sent me a tweet. We always say that, or you've told me, that too many choices meets with unhappiness.
Yes.
And then they've done studies, you know. And so, you know, I'll paraphrase, but if you go into the store and there are 3 toaster ovens to choose from, you pick one and you're pretty happy. But there are 29.
Right.
And it's true. It is definitely true. I got a new Jag F-Type SUV, and I like it. But I jumped in the new Lincoln Black to go down to the racetrack a few weeks ago, and I said, like, God, this thing's sweet. And then my next one was, oh, geez, I should have got this Lincoln. So I'm driving a great car. But the point is it stuck in me a little bit. Like, oh, the Lincoln's pretty nice ride, too. Somebody tweeted me a picture of being at, like, Panera Bread and the 28 varieties of teas. You get the hibiscus with the passion fruit and the honey wheat brew and the blah, blah, blah. And I just realized, oh, you're never going to be happy because there's too many. When I was growing up, you order iced tea, you get iced tea, and that's it. Or you could make into an Arnold Palmer, and that was that. When there are 29 versions of iced tea, you are not going to be happy with your one. You're going to get it. You're going to take a draw off it. It's not going to be nearly as good as the picture. And you're going to think, I should have went with the passion hibiscus, and I screwed up.
Yeah.
And you're going to walk around just a little. It's a little bit sideways back to your car. And the choice doesn't make people happy. And it doesn't. And the younger you are, it'll ruin you. And telling kids, and when I say kids, I mean 18, 19, 20. Look, you're in charge. Whatever you want. Do what you want.
Right.
That doesn't do anything in terms of their happiness. As a matter of fact, it creates a sort of chaos. It's why my dog, I wouldn't say is happiest, but feels the best when he goes right into his crate, turns around, boom, plops down. It's like, right. I'm in my little world here. I don't feel trapped, but I feel safe, and it's what it is. I think if I put 100 of these dogs...
Free to do what we want to do.
No, you don't.
You want to get high.
It's scary. And we're letting them do and make all the charges, call the shots, and it's not helping.
It's the same thing with dating these days, right? You turn on an app, there's
insight.
A bunch of going
the sweeping.
On. Aziz Ansari's book talked about this a lot. Like back in the day, like two generations ago, people just met the first girl in their same block.
Yeah, that's why proximity.
And then they got married.
Proximity was always the highest predictor of a relationship.
But now, it's like no matter how hot, like whoever your girlfriend is, your boyfriend, it's like, and then you turn Instagram to somebody that's better looking, you're like, oh, man, I'm fucking up my life, man. Like, why am I getting
that's
married?
That's interesting, right?
It's true for women, for cars, for tea, for college, you know, college speakers. It's the thing when you need a certain sense of containment, a certain sense of gravity, and they don't have it. And our thing is, if we gave them more freedom and more choice, then
right.
But it doesn't do anything. They just had all these students take over, like UC Santa Cruz or UC Davis or something.
I think,
they just took over the whatever building, and they're like, "Well, we're not leaving until it gets the colors of the Pan African flag, and we need." Free housing for people of color, you know, and we need this and we need that, and we're not going anywhere until you do it. And they went and again, here you are as an educator, yet you have no idea how young human beings work. It's a weird. It's like you work at the zoo.
It's that discomfort with the authority. They just don't. Hey man, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? They don't want to go.
What I'm saying is you are the authority.
Yeah.
It'd be like
man.
You work at the
free.
Zoo and you go, what do you feed polar bears? Cotton candy? Why? That's what they like.
That's what they want.
I thought they need lean protein. I don't know what they need, but they said they wanted cotton
candy.
They
want to get high. They
want to get
high. They want to ride.
The bears want to be free, so we're just going to let them roam the park. That's what they do. So what happens? Well, they give them everything they want. We'll paint the building. We'll give them the dorms. They're putting everyone through some. Here's the great part: everyone has to now go through some sort of sensitive training course.
Oh yeah.
And the curriculum will be decided by the kids in the building, and they'll decide how it works.
You know, there's a little weird backlash in some of the colleges I was reading about, where the professor's like, "They're calling me by first name. They will not call me professor. They will not call me doctor. Whatever. I'm gonna have them stand up when I walk in the room now." And we're gonna talk to them about respect and authority. Well, I thought, good.
It's like
Albert Einstein. Have you seen that in National Geographic series yet? They're all completely in ties, and you know, and they stand up, and the professor comes, and the professor tells them when they can sit back down.
Yeah,
that's it.
Well, people need discipline. Is that the remedy to this?
Of course. And
people need rules,
man. It's good for them. And so, what do the kids do after they take over the whatever humanities building and declare the paint scheme on the outside? So they get everything they want. It takes them 2 days to go take over something else and explain they want more. Yeah. And I'll tell you, guess who the most miserable people on the planet are? Those kids. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Could you imagine? You're supposed to be getting laid and drinking beer.
When were you last in here? You called us about a girl recently,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's working out okay,
months.
Right?
That's actually working out, yeah, because I called you. I was like, I'm starting to see this girl. And, you know, she was a bit of a party girl before I met her, like a few years ago. You know, she was in that modeling world and all that stuff. And I was like getting a little concerned, you know, because I wasn't...
Numbers not matching.
I wasn't that
insecure.
Person. But, yeah, I was getting insecure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, it worked out great. And ever since she met me, she's tapered off, like, you know, on her drinking. She wanted to be better. And you know, I'm suggesting like let's go to the gym together so we can find more activities to do instead of just going out to party and drink. And she's listening, which is great.
Oh, nice. When were you last in here? Like over a year ago?
Maybe like 6 months ago, a year ago.
Because I went to Hong Kong a year ago. I tell you that?
No, you haven't.
No.
How was it?
It's interesting. Quite a place. That sidewalk that takes you up the hill.
Oh yeah.
That's
let's just
crazy.
Talk about the airport. I just had a layover in the Hong Kong airport. Yeah. I haven't been there in like 15 years. They have dudes with masks and thermometers, like pointing at you, laser thermometers, make sure you don't have a fever getting off the plane, or they quarantine you. And then in the business lounges or whatever, they have people, like some of the flight attendants, wearing those masks.
Yeah.
And I ask, I'm like, oh, is it just because they're selfish? They don't want to get sick and they don't care? No, it's because there's a rule in Hong Kong and it's an understood thing. If you just feel a little sick, you wear a mask so you don't get other people
sick.
Some of
it does. It's so concentrated there on that hillside where Hong Kong is. You feel like it's like a little soupy with humanity. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate the masks.
Maybe absolutely.
I was looking at the mask, someone with the mask the other day, and I thought, here's an interesting analysis. Every time I see the Mexican gardener with the leaf blower and just sitting in the plume of shit they're blowing in there, they're never wearing a mask. They're sitting in a toxic plume of particulates, and they're not wearing a mask. And then I see the Asian woman walking through LAX, and she has a mask on. And I said, I think I've just nailed both cultures. I think we could discuss food and cuisine and finance, and we could talk about everything, or I could sum it all up with these two pictures right here. That's all you need to know. You're now an expert in Mexican culture and Chinese culture.
We were on the other side. What's that called? The
Kowloon?
Kowloon. Yeah. We're on the Kowloon side, and it's beautiful at night when you look over at the Hong Kong side. And the people don't tell you about those ferries. I mean, there's a whole thing going on there with the ferries and the
It's like the old meets the new. Every building's 25 stories high. I grew up just in apartments on the 20th floor because you have to build it up.
It is like if the Soviet Union were in 1993 kind of buildings, right?
Yeah, everything blocks, is super opulent. And then you have the richest of the rich people, and you got people just fishing on like old ferries, like wooden ferries from the 60s or something.
Weird, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very interesting town.
And there's even some colonial stuff from Britain left behind there.
A ton of white people still left over there.
No, not the people. Just the buildings.
The
people are all gone.
All right. If you are people, whether you're British or not, how about you go with LifeLock, an email, fishing offside of one of those wooden barge scams,
right.
Targeted 1 million users of a document editing application. The invite to open a document looked like it came from a known contact, and when people open it, the scanners collected their information, including contacts.
Maybe LifeLock is the Democratic National Committee.
Yeah.
DNC needs a
little
LifeLock.
They need a little of that. Identity theft, America's fastest growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. My kids have it. My wife has it. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second. If they detect any problems, well, they alert you immediately, and they're U.S.-based. They do not outsource. So, LifeLock, they're the industry standard. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock is the best protection available, and membership starts at just $9.99 a month. That's it. You're shopping online. You go to LifeLock, and you do what I do, $9.99 a month. LifeLock, Drew.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code ADAM, A-D-A-M, that is ADAM, for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
Jimmy O. Yang, Silicon Valley is the name of the show. Sundays, 10 o'clock, HBO. For me, HBO is like TiVo, but it's always on HBO.
Yeah, HBO Go, HBO Now, all those platforms.
See it all the time. It's a great show. Jimmy,
JimmyComedy.com.
Jimmy Comedy.
Funny Asian Dude.
At Funny Asian Dude on my Twitter and Instagram.
You can go to AdamCarolla.com to find out about the live shows and the 24-hour war over at Chassis, CHASSY.com. We got mugs and t-shirts and stuff there, too. And
life of the party
Corolla
coming
drinks
out.
And all that. Yeah. Drew, where do we go for you?
Go to Dr.com. Check out the family podcast there. Me and Spaz, me and Bob Forth. A lot of interesting stuff over there.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Jimmy O. Yang, Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.